His presence tonight. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand. This is 98 in your hymn book. You're looking forward to our Lord's return?
Amen.
I am watching for the coming of that battling day when our blessed Lord shall come, catch his waiting right away. Oh, my heart is filled with rapture as I labor, watch and pray, for our Lord is coming back earth again. Oh yes, our Lord, he's coming back to earth again. Oh yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. And Satan will be bound 1,000 years, he'll have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Jesus coming back will be the answer to her sorrowing cry, for the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the earth, the sea, and sky. God shall take away all sickness, and the sufferer's tears will dry, when our Savior shall come back to earth again. Oh, yes, our Lord, he's coming back to earth again. Oh, yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. And Satan will be bound 1,000 years to have. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Yes, the ransomed of the Lord shall come to Zion then with joy, and in all his holy mountain nothing hurts or shall destroy. Perfect peace shall reign in every heart, and love without alloy. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Oh yes, our Lord, he's coming back to earth again. Coming back to earth again. Why don't you turn and greet one another in the name of the Lord? glorious reign with Jesus of 1,000 years of peace. All the earth is groaning, crying for that day of sweet release, for our Jesus to come back to earth again. Oh yes, our Lord, he's coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. And Satan will be bound, 1,000 years will have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Yes, the ransomed of the Lord shall come to Zion then with joy, and in all his holy mountain nothing hurts or shall destroy. Perfect peace shall reign in every heart, and love without a Lord, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Yes, our Lord, he's coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound, 1,000 years he'll have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Jesus coming back will be the answer to our sorrowing cry, for the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the earth, the sea, and sky. God shall take away all sickness, the sufferer's tears will dry, when our Savior shall come back to earth again. Our Lord, he's coming back to earth again. Oh yes, our Lord, he's coming back to earth again. And Satan will be bound, 1,000 years he'll have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. And I am watching for the coming of that glad millennial day, when our blessed Lord shall come, catch his waiting bride away. Oh, my heart is filled with rapture as I labor, watch, and pray, for our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, yes, our Lord.
Praise the Lord. Good to be in service again tonight.
Amen.
And I wanted to share a testimony with you that happened this morning. Most of you that was here probably noticed Brother Teo from Ivory Coast was getting a little excited during the service. And I thought he was just excited about something I was saying, but found out after service, Brother Teo's primary language is French, and he speaks pretty good English, but when somebody's talking it fast, it's hard for him to understand. And so Wednesday night when they was here, Brother Stephen and Brother Chris and some of the brothers that were here after the service, they were just going on about the service, and he really just couldn't enjoy it because he was having a hard time understanding. So he got to the church this morning, and he sat down in his pew, and he prayed. He said he prayed two different times and said, "Lord, just let me understand the preacher this morning. Let me understand it." And so Brother Furman came out and was singing, and he was clapping and enjoying it, but he couldn't really understand. He said, "I came and gave the announcements and really didn't understand very much except just when I said his name." And so after the specials and the singing, I came up and read the scripture, and he sat down back there, and he said, he prayed in his heart and said, "Lord, now is the time. Now is the time that I need to be able to understand the minister." And said when he said that, he felt somebody walk up behind him. And he said he went to turn around to look who was behind him, and something said, "No, pay attention to what the brother is saying." And he started listening, and a voice behind him, some being behind him, started interpreting everything I was saying in his own language. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So you would have been standing up and getting happy too, if you were in a foreign country and that something like that happened. So he said he stood up and was enjoying the rest of the service and heard all of the service in his own language, and came up and stood here for prayer and understood what I said during the prayer. And he said as soon as he walked back to his seat and we started singing, it left, and he couldn't understand another word hardly after that. So, amen. God knows what he's doing.
Amen.
Amen. So we believe he's still God. You know, on the day of Pentecost, they heard every man in their own language. So he's still Jehovah Jireh tonight. Amen. God bless you. We don't really have any prayer requests that came in over the afternoon, but want to just continue to remember those in prayer that we were praying for this morning, those that are not feeling good, and Elijah facing surgery tomorrow, and little Peyton, that the Lord will just move on the scene and continue to heal her and to give her an appetite where she'll be eating good again. And how many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I'm going to invite our Nazarene brother. No, Brother Hoover preached for a Nazarene church this morning, but we know he's if he's Nazarene, he's a Pentecostal, Holy Ghost-filled Nazarene, but it's certainly good to have him back with us tonight. Appreciate the work that the Lord is doing there through our brother for that church, and you just never know what might take place, but we appreciate you, Brother Hoover. God bless you.
Well, I'm a Nazarene, but I'm the original Nazarene. I had a one-on-one meeting with him one day. Changed my life. Never be the same. Appreciate your prayers for us this morning. And appreciate Brother Joshua, Sister Stephanie, Brother Anthony, Brother Barry, and all the other ones that contribute to the music here. Until you've sat through an entire service of a cappella singing because they didn't have a musician, you don't realize what that does to invite the presence of the Lord in. And then he starts playing, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. And the Holy Spirit just bathes you. Just marvelous. I do want to turn in two requests. There's a lady by the name of Mrs. Powell, her 4-year-old grandson. She came up for prayer this morning. Her 4-year-old grandson is autistic, and the doctors have told the family, we've done everything that we can. That's the way he's going to be. But we preached this morning on believing the impossible, and she came up in front of everyone, and she confessed. She said something told her in her seat, you need to go to that altar and have that man pray with you. It's not me. It's not the oil. It's the obedience to the Word of God. So you remember, I didn't even get the young man's name, but he's 4 years old and has autism. But Jesus Christ took stripes on his back for autism as well. And then a lady was sitting over on this side of the church, and as I was preaching, I just happened to say, I don't know who this is for. Could be for my wife. Could be for this man here, could be for those two men sitting on the back pew, but someone here needs something impossible done in their life this morning. And that's why the Holy Spirit had me come and why he laid this thought up on my heart, and I saw the lady's hand go up, and she was the first one that come up for prayer this morning. She didn't tell me what the prayer need was. She just said, I need prayer. But after service, she talked to Sister Jeannie. She says, please remember my brother Lonnie. Please remember my brother Lonnie. They put a trach in his throat this week. And I got up this morning to go to the hospital in Indianapolis. And as I was getting ready to go to the hospital, something said, before you go to the hospital, go to church this morning. So she came up for prayer. So then as I was greeting everybody as we left this morning at the church there, she took my hand and then she put her other hand over it so I wouldn't let go. And she said, you don't understand all of this. I told your wife a little bit, but this was a divine appointment this morning. I just praise God that people can express faith like that, that they can hear the word of God and they can have confidence in what's being said. It's not the man, but it's the God that touched my life one day and said, now you go and I blessed you. You be a blessing. That's our only purpose. Brother Branham said his motive and his objective. His motive was he wanted to help the brother whenever he went to the church, when he was invited to a church. And his objective was to point someone to Jesus Christ. That's our motive. That's our objective, is if we can help that brother in his congregation and someone can be pointed to Jesus Christ, amen, then to God be the glory. Amen. Amen. Let's just Let's just talk to him for a moment. Heavenly Father, we've come into your house this evening. We've gathered together here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, under the shed blood of Calvary and under the unction of the Holy Spirit that came down on the day of Pentecost. And Lord, I can't express it in the right way, but if I could just take my brothers and sisters, each one of them, open up their heart and their eyes to understand what this presence that we feel right now means. But this is so unique. This is not everywhere that we go, that this presence comes as real as it is right now. Heavenly Father, you know every need that's on every heart. You know the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And Lord, you know every hand that was raised and what that prayer request was. You know about Lonnie laying in a hospital in Indianapolis. You know about this 4-year-old boy that's autistic. You know about the man that didn't say anything. He just come up and wept this morning and said, pray for me. Lord, you know all about that. But at the same time, Lord, you know each and every heart that's gathered here in this room. And you knew before the foundations of the earth that we would be here. And you knew that your presence would be here. You knew that Brother Trevor was going to speak. And you put the words in his heart and in his mouth, Lord, to speak to us. Lord, it's not Brother Trevor. It's not Brother Nathan. It's not Brother David. It's not any man. But it's Almighty God. And we just worship you and we thank you, Lord, that we have that realization that something opened up in our heart one day and we were able to recognize you and understand how real you really are. We just thank you tonight for answering prayer. We thank you for taking each of these requests. And Lord, that as much as we care about them, Lord, you care even more. And we believe that you're moving on the scene and testimonies are going to come forth. I can't explain it. I don't know all about it. I'm just a vessel in your hands. I ask that you would use Brother Trevor as that vessel this evening and speak to our hearts. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. It's been requested that Brother Ben Wright sing a song for us. So you, as he comes, you just pray for him.
Pillar of fire, let the children of Israel, and let them out of Egypt land. Let them to the rock of Moreh. Let them to the manna in God's land. Let them to God's holy mountain, where he chose. Speak unto them.
Amen. That was wonderful, Brother Ben. God bless you. I believe we're in his presence. Amen. If you weren't here this morning, I'd strongly recommend that you listen, but I really felt impressed to sing this, so you help me. It's 389 in your hymn book. It just, a little chord struck in me that this is what I needed to sing. So I believe, like Brother Nathan said this morning, you can have peace. You can have shalom. So if you believe it's well tonight, you help me sing this. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my life thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and has shed his own blood for my soul.
we stand this evening, my soul, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. Yes, my sin, not in part, but the whole. It is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh, my soul. Yes,
sing it again together.
Oh, it is well with my soul. Oh, it is well. It is well with my soul.
One more time together.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. God's good, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen. You appreciate his presence?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Well, good luck trying to teach after that. They might just flat make you preach after the presence of the Lord like this tonight. But that's okay. Either way, whatever the Lord has for us tonight, but we certainly appreciate Brother Trevor. Looking forward to this series on the church ages that taking us through this church age curriculum that he's put together. I know I enjoyed reading it, and I'm sure that you'll enjoy it, and we'll all enjoy having him teach this to us. And we'll explain. He's got the books are printed, and we've got those available. We're not going to charge you for them, so don't worry about your wallet or your money or anything like that. But we'll explain kind of the details of that at the end of service. And then if you don't have a church age book, you don't have to have one for the service tonight, but I would recommend you getting one if you don't have one to study along with this. And we do have a handful, I think, still available on the bookshelf in the back. But if you have one at home, try to leave those for somebody else that maybe doesn't have one. But if you don't have one, you're welcome to take whatever's left back there. And then if we run out of there, I'm sure Voice of God will have some, or maybe we'll try to restock here quickly. But certainly appreciate another opportunity to come together and worship the Lord. Amen. Appreciated his presence here this morning and again tonight. The presence of the Lord. What a blessed people that we are.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just sing this as we invite Brother Trevor to come. Amen. Brother Arnie told us if we're going to sing this, don't just let it be a song, but recognize how truly amazing that grace is to us. Oh, it's amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Oh, Lord, it saved an old wretch like me. Lord, I was so lost. Oh, but now I'm found. Oh, I was blind, but now I see. Let's sing it this way. Why don't we raise our hands and sing it? Oh, praise God, praise God.
God bless you. Be seated for a moment. Brother Stephen, come, my brother. Yes, brother, you, yes. The 2 minutes we talked about. 2 minutes we talked about. Yes, brother. No, musicians, thank you. Be seated.
2 minutes.
2 minutes.
2 minutes. God richly bless you. It's the first time in America. And friends, I've enjoyed really well. I know the prophet originated from this place. How at all will I come to Jeffersonville and other places to see all these evidences? And by the grace of God, Tim Humes invited us. We came for the convention, but deep down, we wanted to see Jeffersonville. Amen. And by his grace, we went there. We saw so many evidences. And on top of it all, Brother David took us to so many places. And finally, we saw the artisan well. How our hearts within our souls bubbled. Amen. God richly bless you, Brother David. But as we come, we have to be homed. Who will home us? Who will give us food to eat? Some people, by the grace of God, stand out. And they have accommodated us, giving us food. We say, God richly bless you. God bless your pastor. See, sometimes people have so many thoughts about pastors. Calm down. Amen. Calm down. Amen. Whatever money you give, oh, friends, they do us very good. And on top of it all, we say, God bless you. My 2 minutes is finished. Let's go on. Let's go on.
Amen. Brother Stephen, I've preached at this church a few times now, both times that I was in Ghana. He's in the western, southwestern portion of Ghana in Takoradi. That's where they got me my cup of coffee. And when the coffee shop was closed, they said, okay, now there's a Marriott up the road. They have coffee. So it became a search for get the American preacher some good coffee. So... I appreciated them very much. And then Brother Tao, he's from Ivory Coast. That's where I was at. I went there the last time and had a good services. And the Lord really, really moved with us there. And, you know, he told so many testimonies, even more this time, just seeing him again about how the Lord has put a roof on their church. And he got a bigger car. And his mother's been, who was hurting and really very sick. And she's been wonderful ever since. And he said this the other day. He said he went home and his mother and his wife were just talking, laughing. And they hadn't done that for quite some time. So we thank the Lord for the moving of the word. Go ahead, brother. You can switch over. So, yes, today we are embarking upon a journey together. Something that I've been working on for 4 years now, and we've come to the completion stage of it. So I'm excited to be here. And what our desire is to do is to read the Church Age together, read the Church Age book together, as a group, as individuals, but as a group. We can be in the same spot. We can have conversations around this. We can, you know, we have many fellowship together. And if we're all kind of in the same spot, then maybe at the dinner table when we're enjoying, I don't know, Brother Luke's wings or, you know, something, you know, we can have something else in common that we can be discussing. Right. So I'm thankful to be here at this point in the journey of this curriculum that I've put together by the help and grace of the Lord, and just a desire that he put on my heart to do. So I guess everybody's has been here and knows what we're talking about, but I put this book together. So that's what we're doing. And so after service, we'll hand them out to anyone who wants them. I think Brother Nathan gave the specifics, and 10 and up, you know, is anyone younger than that probably isn't going to get much out of it. It's maybe a little bit more of a weighty read than that, but everyone's welcome, teenagers, parents, older people, grandparents, everyone. And I think we're going to enjoy this together. Now, I will say that 2 weeks ago, when we talked about the Feast of the Trumpets, and I know many of you really enjoyed that and were very inspired by that and excited by the depth that we explored in the Word of God. And that was a whole lot packed into one little hour and 15-minute sermon. Every service isn't going to be like that, because this time we're going to go slower. That was just an onslaught of information. And I could probably call a bunch of you up here and say, hey, what did we talk about 2 weeks ago on Sunday night? And you'd say, well, the Feast of Trumpets. Okay? And more. And probably a lot of you would kind of, okay, let me find my notes. You know, generally you have the ideas, and I'm not insulting your intelligence or anything, but I'm just saying, I threw information at you like crazy in 1.5 hours or 1 hour and 15 minutes, you know, somewhere in there. And, you know, and it was exciting and it was wonderful, but how much of it did we process? How much did we take in, and how much have we kept? And so the process that we're going to go through with this is we're going to take this information in bite sizes, so much slower, but so much more able to digest it. And so for any of us that have maybe taken this church age book right here, and we've looked at it and went, wow, I don't know that word. 381 pages. Yeah, what's for dinner? You know, and you know, this, so we can get to the place where that book is very difficult for us to go through. And that's why we're just going to take it in bite sizes. We're going to take it in very easy to consume, and everyone in here should be able to keep up this pace that we're going to take, and should be able to really digest this information, because we're going to teach it. Sometimes I'm almost literally reading you things out of the Church Age book that you're then going to go home and read it again. And so hopefully, and when I was doing this and teaching this to the Sunday school class at the Tabernacle, you know, the kids were like, hey, you know, this is kind of slow. And I was like, okay, come on up here and teach what I taught last week. Oh, I mean, you know, I mean... Well, then how well do you really know it? So my hope is that when I get done teaching this, and you get done reading the Church Age book, and you get done studying this, that you can come and you can just go and teach anybody everything there is to know about the Church Age book. And that's, you know, and then I will feel like a job well done. But to be quite honest, if you read the Church Age book throughout this process, I will feel like it's a job well done. So I'm happy about that. So extra credit also goes to those who listen to the tape that corresponds with the chapter that we're listening to. So, oh, news to me. Praise the Lord. Sounds great. So there you go. You also get to check and to see whether I'm saying it right or not. So, I tell you what, let's go ahead and stand, because that feels like that's something we should do, and read a portion of the Word so that we can be blessed whether I mess this up totally or not. Revelations chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, amen, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. We're fulfilling scripture right now. Amen. And you're blessed. And keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Amen. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word. We thank you for revelation in our lives. We thank you that a prophet could come and teach us these things and show us what these things mean, Lord, because before we, as Brother Branham said, many people probed at it, but now, Lord, we have the perfect interpretation of the Word of God with divine vindication. And we're so thankful, Father, that you've sent that to us. As we just read, the time is at hand. Lord, the time has been at hand that these things should be and should be revealed. Lord, we're recipients of it, and we are so blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, is what we can say. We love you, Father, and great one, our almighty God. Thank you for these things. Lead us and guide us. Instruct us now, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I did want to say, just as Brother Nathan mentioned on that song service, you know, I appreciate Brother Furman and the leading that he has. And I appreciate a song leader who's singing, "My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to that cross. And I can't even, and the brother can't even get the words out as he's leading songs because he feels it so deeply and understands his sin so deeply and the grace of God to nail it to a cross so that we bear it no more. And okay, I could preach on that for a while. Whoo, boy, but that's not where we're at. Amen. So the revelation of Jesus Christ, Brother Branham says, now on this, I would ask each one of you who are really concerned about these things would come every time that we are going to explain it.
Amen.
Maybe that's enough said. So that's my little ploy to get you to come. Oh, Brother Trevor's speaking. I guess we can stay home. No. Amen. All right. We can move on. What is our purpose and goal? What are we here? Why are we doing this? Really simply to read the church age book and to profit from it. That's the whole thing. That's what I want to do. That's my thoughts, my goals. I wrote this book because I want people to read the church age book. Not because I want them to hear my doctrine or my ideas or my thoughts. I just want you to read the church age book. Okay? That's what I want. That's what we're going to do. Brother Branham says, in the Revelation of Jesus Christ's message, I believe that it is the most outstanding of the outstanding messages of the Bible because it reveals Christ in his church at this time. Amen. Then no one can have faith or know what they're doing or where they're going unless they have something to base their thoughts and faith upon. You see, when I read the church age book, my first time, somewhere around 20 or 21 years old, I found myself saying, oh, that's why I believe that. Now I knew that. I knew, the thing and the Godhead, you know, yeah, Trinity, yeah, it's wrong, yeah, I know. But then I found myself reading this going, it's so clear. It makes so much sense to me. And really, truly, this quote right here was fulfilled when I read the church age book because now I had something to base my thoughts and my faith upon. And so that's what we want. Brother Ram says, therefore, if the scripture has revealed Christ to us in these last days and the condition of the time, it would do us good to search it and find out where we're at. That's the purpose of this. That's what we're doing. We're going to search through these things. We're going to have something to base our faith upon. Every main doctrine in this message, you'll find very simply put out in the church age book. Whether we're talking about predestination, about whether your name is in the book of life or not, or can people have their names taken out of the book, and why and how and all of these things. Godhead, Trinity, baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of these things we'll find in the church age book. And it'll give us not only those things, but the condition of the time. We're going to learn about what Nicolaitanism is. We're going to learn about Balaamism. We're going to learn about how the type of Jezebel and how Jezebel types the Roman Catholic Church in our day. And we're going to learn so many things. We're going to see what the devil has tried to do throughout all the ages to destroy the Word of God. We're going to see how, you know, Brother Branham didn't finish this book until after the seals. So there's plenty of, you know, seals doctrine that's still in this church age book, even though when he preached the messages, it was prior to that. But he was able to bake in the things that he learned through preaching the seals into this book because it was finished 2 years later. So we're going to learn about all of these things. And we're going to see history made plain before us.
All right.
And we're going to see where we're at through that. And so all of these things we will have an answer for. And I believe really believe that we'll be strengthened as a church together. Now, in reading a book, I would like to ask how many when you get a book at the store or you get a book at the library, how many of you read the introduction? Well, that's not too bad. Okay. For those of you that normally don't, there's a few things that I would like to read out of the introduction before we get going. Brother Branham says, this volume will concern itself with various major doctrines such as Godhead, water baptism, etc., found in Revelations chapter 1 through 3. The main theme is the setting forth of a detailed study of the seven church ages. This is necessary in order to study and understand the rest of Revelation. For out of the ages come the seals. Out of the seals come the trumpets. Out of the trumpets come the vials. Like the first burst of a Roman candle, the church ages come forth with a mighty initial illumination. And I mean, just, can you hear this? Like, is this not just beautifully written? Yeah. Seventh grade education? Okay, Brother Lee Vale helped too. Sure, I get it. But I'm constantly amazed at the mastery of preaching that Brother Branham has. So sometimes it's like, that is the most beautiful thing ever. And I don't know, is that Brother Branham or is that Lee Vale influence? I don't know. But I just thank God that we have it. And it is, this is beautiful literature.
Amen.
Like a first burst of a Roman candle, the church ages come forth with a mighty initial illumination, without which there could be no further light. But once the brilliance of the seven church ages is given by divine revelation, light upon light follows until the whole of the revelation opens wide before our wondering eyes, and we, edified and purified by its Spirit, are made ready for his glorious appearing, even our Lord and Savior, the one true God, Jesus Christ. Now, does anybody, you know, not want to read this book now? Yeah, I want to be made ready. I want to be edified and purified by his Spirit. That sounds great. Brother Branham says, now, if you wonder, because there's many people that don't like this book, and what they'll tell you is that it's Lee Vale's book, and it has Lee Vale's doctrine in it, and things like that. And in this, you know, introduction that signed William Marion Branham at the bottom says, this composition is set forth in the first person as it is a message from my heart to the hearts of the people. I just don't know what they do with that. So, I pray the blessing of God upon each reader, and may illumination by the Spirit of God be each one's special portion. Brother Branham prayed a blessing of God upon each person that would read this book.
Amen.
Are you ready to read the book?
Amen.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, don't start now. Start tomorrow morning. Or tonight. Okay, so that's the introduction. Okay. And so I want to work this to some degree. We're not going to be totally a Sunday school class, but I mean, this is a Sunday school kind of curriculum that I wrote. So, you know, there's going to be elements of Sunday school involved. So if you wouldn't mind, and you know, the easiest way to memorize something is to just recite it a few times every day out loud. You hear it, you speak it. You know, and it just becomes a part of you. So together, we recite together. Since it is the blood of God, it is perfect blood. And if the perfect blood is loosing us from the power and bondage and defilement of sin, then the loosing is perfect and complete. Glory to God. Glory to God. So each chapter will have a different selection that we will memorize, or at least work on memorizing, and you will be edified by it. Because just as we sang about how our sins are nailed to the cross tonight, and how everyone was blessed by it, and the Spirit of God is there, so is it when we have such a nugget of truth baked into our souls because of constant repetition and memorization of something. That the loosing is perfect and complete.
Amen.
But my sin was so terrible. My sin was so bad. You know, I mean, you know, there's parts of it can be wiped away, but Certainly not. No, the loosing is perfect and complete. Amen. That's the blood of God. Amen. Amen. So we read our scripture already to show unto his servants things which shortly would come to pass. And blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and the time is at hand. Verse 4 is John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you and peace. From him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne.
Amen.
Amen. So, just a little more introduction. The seven churches. What are the seven churches? The seven churches are located there in modern-day Turkey. There we have Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, all out there on a map, and we can see kind of, okay. And then we have the island of Patmos where John is, the little black dot there. That's where John is receiving this revelation and writing these things down. So we are going to obviously talk about each one of these cities, each one of these ages in detail as we go along. But as we start our journey here, we have two chapters that start before we get to the first church age. We have an introduction as to why we're here, why we're reading what we're reading, what are the central themes that we must see here. And then we will have the Patmos vision, which will complete the rest of chapter 1. And we'll talk about Christ and his many attributes that John sees before we get into the churches. So the church ages proper start in chapter 2 and continue through chapter 3. But Brother Branham begins to take us through chapter 1. So we have two chapters in the church age book that will cover chapter 1 in Revelations. And so that's what we're going to be working through at first. So we have this word now that we're going to learn, and it's the word apocalypse. What's the first thing that comes into your mind when you hear the word apocalypse?
Chaos,
destruction, end of the world. Quit being smart. That's good. That's good. And maybe even culturally, there may be some of us who, too ashamed to say it, would have said, oh, zombies. Because the zombie apocalypse is the thing that is talked about so often, as if that was a thing. And so we understand, though, that many of us have thought, you know, oh, a destruction. And that's where they get zombie apocalypse. It's the end of the world. It's destruction at the end times. That's what this is. And so we begin to now peel back, why do we think that's what the word apocalypse means? Why is that? That doesn't make any sense. What is the apocalypse? Okay, there we go. I didn't know I had animations on this slide. Why are we even talking about this word? And where did this word come from? So, as we talk about this, maybe, brothers, could you carefully, because I don't want the work of art under this veil. No. Nothing's going to jump out at you, but please do not unveil it. Just if we can bring it up here, down here, so that I need this here for later, because our little object lesson here. It's going to be very edifying to us and make everybody wonder and remember. Because when you sit there going, what on earth is this? You'd never forget it, do you? Yeah. So we begin to try to figure out why are we even talking about this word? What does it mean if it's not chaos or destruction or zombies? From Revelations chapter 5, part 1, Brother Branham says, what is this? The revelation of Jesus Christ, the revelation called in the Latin, the apocalypse, which means to be revealed, taking the cover off of, to show, to expose, to bring out the revelation of Jesus Christ, which was and is and shall come, the root and offspring of David. We're going to read in the church age book. He says the Greek word for revelation is apocalypse, which means unveiling. In Why I'm Against Organized Religion, this Bible,
reveals the mind of Christ, and the whole book of Revelations, called the Apocalypse, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, you'll notice the picture that I have up there, and you see that it says the Apocalypse. If you have a diaglot at home, which Brother Branham mentions many times, and you will find the last book, the book of Revelations, is not titled Revelation, it's titled Apocalypse. That is the actual name of the book that we call Revelation, is Apocalypse. Now, it was translated into English and called Revelation, but actually the word Apocalypse means revelation. It means unveiling. Now, we begin to think Apocalypse means destruction because what do we read about so often in Revelation? A third of the grass is dead, and a third of the sun is gone, and a third of the men have died, and all of those things that we talked about in the trumpets, and all the vials get poured out, and locusts with long hair and long teeth, and, you know, ants as big as mountains, and we think Apocalypse. And this is why the world, see, they have zero clue what any of this means. They don't have any understanding. They don't even know that most of it's already been fulfilled. And so they think, oh, this book, this Apocalypse, and that's why it's like, oh, it's the, you know, the sure sign of the Apocalypse. You know, that's what us parents tell our room, our children when they clean their room. You know, it's a sign of the Apocalypse. What does that mean? What are we saying when we say that? We're saying it's a sign that the end times are near. But that's not what Apocalypse means. Apocalypse means unveiling. And so you have an artist maybe that has made a sculpture. And before, you know, they have a ceremony so that he can unveil his sculpture. And you don't know what the sculpture is. You don't know anything about it. But you know that it's there. It's sitting in front of you. It's rather weird because it's in church and it's a bedsheet. And you go, what is that thing? What is it? What could the artist be waiting to show us? And then the ceremony happens, the music, you know, the big, you know, boring speeches that happen, and nobody cares. They just want to know what is under the bedsheet. That's why we're here. And everybody can't wait. They're saying, why is it taking so long? Because the artist in this case wants to build a little momentum and excitement. All right, so what does the artist do after he's ready and the boring speeches have happened and the mayor is there and everything, and all of a sudden it's time, it's ready, and he goes, I don't want to break anything. So he goes, Apocalypse! Right? That was an apocalypse. You just witnessed the apocalypse of the Emond table lamp. You've witnessed an apocalypse. An unveiling. Amen? So, that's so great. You'll never forget that. You'll always remember what apocalypse means. You can thank me later. But then there's sometimes something is unveiled to you. And it's now the cover has been torn off. And so excited, everybody's there waiting for the sculpture. And it's apocalypse. And it's something like that. And you go, that's very interesting. It's a tree with metal square leaves. And the artist is like, do you like it? And everybody's like, I mean, yes, of course, it's a brilliant work of art, but what is it? But what does it mean? And maybe sometimes something is unveiled before us, but we still don't understand what it means.
Right. Amen.
Like this tree with metal square leaves. And we begin to wonder, what does the artist mean? And maybe sometimes, you know, the artist's trying to sound all artistic and stuff, go, well, what does it mean to you? I made this so that it could speak to you in various ways. But God is not an artist like that. God has a definite meaning behind what he has unveiled. So John on the Isle of Patmos is now, and I love this because now I know we're all together now. It's great. So John's on the Isle of Patmos. And he's receiving these things. He's seeing things. He's not seeing trees with square metal leaves, but he's seeing things that are there, and now he's writing them down. Uh-huh. And he's writing, and he's writing, and he's writing, and he writes 22 chapters. And sometimes John himself is going, I don't get it.
Right.
And so maybe you would think, apocalypse means unveiling. And so because it's unveiling, that's revelation. That's something we now know and now we understand. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. See, the book of Revelations is the unveiling of God. It is the apocalypse. But when it was happening there to John, he didn't understand. So how can you say, it's an unveiling, but I don't get it. I don't understand. Well, because of the square metal leaf tree principle that we learn, right? It's not always obvious. It's unveiled. And so here's where we really get to the crux of the matter. You see, God, in his mind, he wants to, and we're going to see this quote, he wants to reveal himself, and he wants to reveal what's going to happen in the oncoming church ages.
Right?
Right? That's what God wants to do. But if God then begins to make it very clear and unveil it so that people go, it's a lamp. We get it. We understand it. We know what it's for. Then what would happen to the people in the first church age and second church age who knew, who would have known that their dispensation, that the power of their age was to, you know, be sacrificed, was to be put on the rack, was to be tortured, was to be killed for the name of Jesus Christ. It's in there in chapter 2, chapter 3, but, you know, endures to the end,
right,
shall be saved. What if they understood what that meant,
right,
before it happened? Would that have changed them? What would that have done? You see, so God begins to unveil things. He begins to put down maybe what we would call word pictures into this revelation that we're given. And because he needs to reveal what's going to happen. He's got in his mind his great plan. He's got to reveal what's going to happen. But he can't let everyone understand that revelation until the right time. So what does he have to do? He has to then put things in Revelations in such a way that we don't understand them necessarily, but he will tell us in Revelations 10:7 that all of those mysteries will be revealed to us.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
But it can't be revealed unless first it's unveiled before us, and maybe we don't understand what the artist meant. But the artist was going to send someone later to tell us what the piece meant.
Amen.
So that's how we can have something unveiled, but maybe we don't understand.
Right.
Does that make sense to everyone?
Amen.
And so that's why we have word pictures in the book of Revelations, and we'll see them over and over again. We understand the seals were horse riders, and we understand trumpets, and we understand, you know, the Euphrates River was a picture. We understand, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, we understand horsemen coming out of Euphrates River. What is that? It's pictures. It's word pictures. It's pieces of art that the artist has unveiled before us, but maybe we don't understand the meaning. But yet he's got to put it in there, because at the book end of the book of Revelations, we have two words. What does it say? The end. The end. And there wasn't going to be more scripture written. So if it was going to be revealed to us later, he had to bake it into the Word of God first. Because even Brother Branham himself is approached and said, "Now, Brother Branham, you being qualified as a prophet of God and all of these things, you could tell us," I believe talking about the seventh seal, "you know, you could tell us all of these things. What that voice said and all of these things." And he said, you've got a fine statement, but no, it wasn't written down. And Brother Branham himself is not going to reveal something that isn't already written in this word.
Amen.
Now, there are things that are going to happen that we are going to live through, that we are going to go through, that are going to be manifested. Whatever that was in the seventh seal, those things are going to happen. John was forbidden to write, but they're going to happen. But those things were not unveiled for us. And because they're not unveiled for us into the book of Revelations, Brother Branham, as Revelations 10:7, isn't going to reveal those things and make those things that were unveiled plain. You understand? So God has to put it in Revelation in word pictures. That is the unveiling of Christ and his works in the coming ages, but yet we're still waiting for the full picture, the full understanding, or the full revelation. So apocalypse means unveiling, perfectly described in the example of a sculpture unveiling. This unveiling is perfect. That slide. Now the uncovering is not only the revelation of the person of Christ, but it is the revelation of his future works in the oncoming seven church ages. So that's what we're going to be studying throughout the reading of this book, is not only the revelation of the person of Jesus Christ, but the revelation of what he's going to be doing throughout the ages. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That was lesson one. Easy, right? Simple, right? Nothing grand, nothing, you know, overly complicated or difficult. So we're going to try to do two. So the importance of Revelation, lesson two. Brother Branham says the important... Is that blinking for everyone? Okay. I don't know why that's... I have no idea what's going on with my slides. Okay. Apparently, you know, when I did this a long time ago, I found this to be a really clever joke. So I know exactly what's going on with this slide right now. Because, you know, Brother Branham said that the importance of revelation in the life of a true believer can never be overemphasized. So I don't know if you read that up there, but it said the importance of revelation by the Spirit to a true believer can never be overemphasized. So what I wanted to bring out in this slide was that there was no way that I could overemphasize how important revelation is in our lives. It's very important. I honestly forgot that I had done that. I really was just planning on reading that like five times until you were annoyed and then moving on. But this was so much more effective. So anyway, as we said, the importance of revelation by the Spirit to a true believer can never be overemphasized. What's so great about revelation? Brother Branham says, now remember this. And as you begin to read this, this is one of the... There's so many powerful passages here in the Church Age book. But as you begin to read this, you're going to find this one here very quick in your assignment for lesson two. Remember this, Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts.
Amen.
Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. Is the book of Acts still going?
Amen.
Amen. But the book of Revelation shows how the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. It exposes Satan, revealing his works, the attempted destruction of God's people, and the discrediting of God's word right down to the time he's cast into the lake of fire. He fights that. He cannot stand it. Brother Branham says also in this, in the book here that we'll read in this, these two lessons, is that because he talks about Genesis and Revelations and how Satan hates the book of Genesis and Revelations the most, because one tells where he came from and the other tells where he's going. And so he also mentions that Satan then uses liberal theologians. We have some of those that used to be in our ranks. and pseudo-scientists to try to discredit the book of Revelations. Try to make it say something it's not, try to whatever, or try to use science. But what our prophet says is pseudoscience, because their science that discredits the book of Revelation, they can't prove it. They can't prove it. Science is supposed to be testable, repeatable. That's what your science teacher should say. You can test it. You can repeat it. It follows laws. It does things. But nobody can test whether or not a polywog became a frog, became a this, became a that, became a human, and all of those things. So what is it? They say it's science. They try to act all smart and all great, but even their basic principles they have to ignore before they begin to attack the Word of God. So Satan can't stand this book of Revelation. He wants to destroy God's Word. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church, what she is, what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army.
Amen.
How many are part of that invincible army?
Amen.
Amen. If they get a true revelation of the true spirits within the framework of the Christian church, and by God's Spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her. The importance of revelation by the Spirit in our lives cannot be overemphasized. This is what revelation does. This is true revelation in our lives. Now, many of us maybe, no doubt, through our message upbringings, we've heard, oh, the thunders, oh, the seals, oh, the thises, and oh, the thats. But let me ask you something. When we had these great, sermons and these great doctrines and these great ideas, did they make us powerful? Did they make it so Satan couldn't stand before us?
Come on, brother. Amen. Think about it.
If it did, I'd say that was probably a true revelation. But if it didn't, if all it did was confuse you in your mind or make you feel like you were special because, your pastor had the greatest thing ever, then it was worthless. And it was worthless. Because it didn't do a lick in your life. And I want a gospel. I want a gospel that's real. I want a gospel that's powerful. I want a gospel that does something in my life. And if I'm going to talk about revelations, if I'm going to talk about deep things, if I'm going to talk about spiritual things, I don't want it to be theory. I don't want it to just be, oh, yes, very, very, very interesting, brother. Oh, my, that's so deep and so wonderful. Does it help me in my Christian walk?
All right, man.
Does it teach me more about what Jesus does in my life in each day? Does it teach me about who I am in Him? Does it give me an assurance that as I stand on this Word of God, that Satan's powerless before me, that he's nothing but a bluff? Because that's the kind of revelation I want in my life.
Amen.
I don't want revelation that makes me feel like a message theologian. I could care less. I want a gospel that's real. A gospel that has power. And that's what we have today. But too often we've tried to make it something. Look, if the revelation that's being preached, that's being read, that's being heard, isn't working, isn't doing something in your life, then you need to pray, God, what's going on here? Something's wrong. Because if I'm seeing revelation, if I'm seeing something deep in the Word of God, it ought to impact me. It ought to make me move in the Spirit of God. So what we're going to see is we, so clearly, so plainly, what we just read there, that the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, what are those two spirits? It's the false vine and the true vine. And we'll learn all about that. It's the spirit of the devil trying to act like he's religious, and it's the spirit of Christ. And those two things are so close. They're just like twins. But if we can discern and withstand, discern the difference, how are you going to discern it? Revelation.
Amen.
Revelation in your life. The Word of God is going to expose these things.
Right.
That's what this is going to do. The devil hates this book. The devil hates this book. The devil hates this book.
Right? Why we're not a denomination? He hates him. Why? It exposes him.
Right.
As we read through this book, it's going to expose what the devil's been doing throughout all of the ages. It's going to make it so plain, so clear. Brother Branham is going to use, this is like 60% scripture. Just over and over and over again. Scripture, scripture, scripture. Why? Because the revelation that we have, the revelation that the prophet brought us is not just something that some man from Kentucky cooked up in his own. No. No. You'll be going, but maybe Brother Branham, you'll be reading this and you'll be like, now, Brother Branham, I just don't know about that. Well, look again, because the part that you said, I don't know about that, is probably scripture. And you didn't realize you were reading it.
Man.
That's how packed this is with scripture. Yeah. Brother Branham revealed things, what? From the scripture.
Amen.
Here's what it says in Revelations. It's unveiled. There's a word picture. We don't understand it. The prophet begins to show us this word picture means this, means this, means this. Oh, Brother Branham, I don't know. That seems so extreme. And then the prophet continues. Because look what he said over here. Look at what Jesus said here and what Jesus said here. Look what Paul said here. Look at what it said back here in Zechariah. Here's the type. And it's apocalypse.
Amen.
Unveiled, revealed, made plain. The plan of God manifesting before us. We understand that if we believe this message, do we understand what this message is? Can we, real quick, Revelations chapter 10, verse 7. You know it, but turn there. Sometimes I wonder if we've learned this, but not really considered the power of what we have.
Amen.
Revelations chapter 10, verse 7. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he's declared to his servants, the prophets. We are living in the days of the manifestation of the book of Revelations. We're living in the days when we truly see that just as John was a man and he sat there on the Isle of Patmos. God sent him there, persecuting the church. God sent him there because God had a work for him. So he places him there so it's quiet. And he has nothing better to do but just see what God is unveiling to him. And he can sit there and just write and write and write. And no one's distracting him.
Man.
That's history. There's a real Isle of Patmos. You can go there today. It's real. And there was a man by the name of John, and he sat there in a cave, and he wrote, and he wrote.
Yes.
And we know it's true because we've got it. We've got it right here. Right here. You've got it right there. How did that get there? How did that get there, Sister Dottie? How did those words get in that book? Where did it come from? Where did it originate from? It's because there was literally a man named John sitting on the Isle of Patmos having a vision in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, writing these things down. Then now we're recipients of these things, and we go, wow, nobody's understood these things, but they're truth. A man did it, and he wrote these things down, and now we're here, and we see that God sent a seventh messenger to reveal and all of these things made plain. And we go, the Bible's real. It's truth. There's no reason to go anywhere else. The power that what we have, it was written down, and now all of these things, we couldn't see it. They were unveiled, but it was a square tree leaf thing. And we didn't get it. But now we do. Why? Because of Revelations 10:7. Because how many thousand years ago John sat there and wrote, but, oh, I don't understand these things, Jesus. Some of these things don't make sense to me. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery, it's going to be finished. And we're in those days. And this mystery is finished before us.
And that's why we're embarking upon this, is because now we have part of something that that seventh angel did, was to write this book for our edification, so the Roman candle could burst off forth and you could be illuminated by the church ages, illuminated by the seals, illuminated by the trumpets, illuminated by the vials, burst after burst, God showing forth his seven colored revelation. And it's wonderful. So we shouldn't sit like bumps on a log and go, well, yeah, I'm a message believer. Praise God.
Amen.
Do you understand? Do you see your place here? Do you see where you fit?
Yes.
You see where you fit? Let's turn. Revelations 22. Sorry, 19. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. How does she do that? How does she do that? She clothes herself in the Word of God. She clothes herself in the Word of God. Do you see your place in the Word? This is you. John wrote about this in A.D. I don't remember the date, 95, I think, 96. That's in a lesson on the next chapter. But now we see our place in the Word of God.
Amen.
That this is real. Just as there was a real man sitting on the Isle of Patmos, there is a real church of the living God who's preparing herself, dressing herself in the Word of God, getting into the Word of God, reading a 381-page book with a blue cover. Why? So she can understand what the Word of God has been doing throughout all of the ages, and so that she can see that Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. So that she can see this revelation means something and does something in my life.
Amen.
That's what we have. That's what's before us. That's what we're embarking upon, church.
Amen.
Amen. Oh my. Satan will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert.
Huh?
Everybody understands this, right? Where we're at, what this is? What he's talking about here is when Jesus goes to the wilderness for 40 days and Satan comes and he tempts him.
Right.
Did Satan get anywhere with Jesus?
No.
No. Completely thwarted.
Right.
Satan might as well have packed his bags and went home on the first days to stay there and try to tempt Jesus for 40 days and 40 nights. Oh, by the way, Jesus didn't have any food. Jesus didn't have any water. He's just there for 40 days and 40 nights. Oh, would you like some bread? You can just command these stones. Brother Jimmy, if you went tomorrow without food and you had the power in you to turn rocks into bread, and I told you on Tuesday, hey, why don't you turn those rocks into bread? How do you think you'd respond? Give me the bread, brother. Rock, you are one day, the next day. I mean, by Tuesday, I'm like, Rock, you bread. But Jesus spends 40 days in the wilderness, tempted, turn these rocks into bread, has all power to do it and make it happen. But he completely, completely thwarted. Completely. What does that say? Who's that talking about? Who's thwarting him today? Just as Jesus thwarted him in the wilderness. Who's doing that? You could say, oh, well, that's Jesus. Yeah, it is Jesus. Right. Where? In you. In you. That's what revelation does in our lives. That's what we have in our day. Oh, is God good? With true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will prevail over them. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah. So we understand. I will go through these things really quick because I know I'm getting towards the time, but Matthew chapter 16, we don't have to turn there. We don't have to go through all the slides. We understand this story. This is Jesus with his disciples. Hey, you know, who do men say that I am? Elias, you know, who, this guy. Who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Right. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. Amen. But my Father which is in heaven, and upon this rock will I build my church. What rock? Revelation.
Amen.
Revelation. Are we together? Everybody understand this. This should be the most basic, foundational message thing that you know. As surely as you've been taught, Brother Branham is a prophet, and he's Malachi 4, 5, and 6, and he's Revelation 10, 7. You ought to understand the way this church, what this church is built on. It's revelation. It's revelation. Do you know what I'm doing right now? I'm not giving you revelation. I'm not. I'm just preaching. I'm just teaching.
All right.
Do you know what, brother? You know what? When Brother Branham wrote this, you know what he's not doing? He's not giving you revelation. Well, brother Trevor, how did we know these things? How do we know that? Yeah, it's an unveiling. It's an unveiling. Sure. Sure. But how do you get revelation? Because you read it? Because mommy taught it? Because daddy taught it? Because the pastor taught it? No. Now, you know what? God spoke it through a prophet. We couldn't have got it unless it went through a prophet. But once it went through a prophet, we don't have secondhand spirituality. We can say, God, what is this? And straight from the throne of heaven, he comes down and says, yes, what that man says is true. And he quickens that thing in your own life. That's revelation. And that's what this is built on. So just reading this, oh, yeah, we're getting to it. There's slides on this. Oh, my, let's just move. Let's just go. Amen. Oh, and remember this, the gates of hell shall not prevail. What did he say? What did he just say? What did Brother Branham say?
Yes.
He'll be thwarted today. The gates of hell can't prevail against her. Why? Because it's just right out of the scripture right here. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. I put upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. Then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
You've got to have revelation. Can I say it? Can I just say it maybe one time tonight? The importance of revelation by the Spirit to a true believer can never be overemphasized.
Amen.
Because if the Spirit has not revealed something to you, you are no believer.
Yeah. All right.
But I understand all of these things. But the church isn't built upon your understanding. It's built upon your revelation. By the Spirit to you. And you can't even say that Jesus is the Lord unless it's the Holy Ghost revealing that thing to you.
Amen.
It's got to be revealed. It's got to become personal to you.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And it's Jesus in you. 1 John 4, 4, ye are little of God, little children, and have overcome them. What? Overcome? Yes. Little children of God, overcome the devil. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
This isn't just a little Sunday school scripture that's cute for the children to read. That's cute for them to memorize and recite before us. It's power. It's the word of God.
Amen.
It's to understand that it's the revelation. What did he say? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ and his work in the oncoming church ages.
Amen.
How is he working? How is Jesus working in the future church ages? Through his bride.
Amen.
You have overcome them because he's in you. Because he's in you. Amen? So, Brother Branham tells us that we're a special class of people. How are you special? What makes us special? Well, I mean, obviously because you're unique. You're, you know... There's great little things about you that you're so unique, just like a little snowflake, and not any one of them is the same. And you have your fingerprints are unique. Nobody's fingerprints can match yours. You are special. I just want everybody to reach out and hug themselves and say, I'm special. We obviously know that's not the answer. Is it because God made you special? It's because God gave you prophetic insight.
Amen.
Through His grace. Through His grace, God has given you prophetic insight, and by that prophetic insight, with the Spirit of God, you can have revelation.
Amen.
That makes you special. Not that you can go and say, I'm special, you're not. You don't have revelation, but I do. I'm special. Probably need to take off your shoes to count that many. But that's not what we're talking about, though, is it? But we're talking about the grace of God.
Amen.
The grace of God to give us something. To show us something. And does it make us special? Can people say, well, that's kind of not nice to say that you're special and other people aren't. Okay, but that's fair. I mean, I get it. I understand what you're trying to say. But there's a group of people. There's a group of people in this day that have the Word of God, the power, the thoughts, the expression of Almighty God brought into existence and living in their hearts. I don't know what else you call that if you don't call that special. If you don't say that people with the Word of God in their hearts, living out in their lives abundantly, are a special class of people, then I don't know what the word special means. Because we're a special class of people. Because God sought fit to give us prophetic insight. Winding up, the time is at hand. The end of verse 3, there in Revelations 1, it says, the time is at hand. And Brother Branham tells us, immediately we learn a principle. The revelation of God for each age can come in that age only and at a specific time. Where are we at in time? We're living in the days of the voice of the seventh angel.
Amen.
What a blessed people we are. What a time. What a day it is. What time is at hand? The time that all of these things, all that was unveiled before us but we did not understand, we now are in the day when we do understand those things.
Amen.
And we can understand them very, very clearly. Revelation can happen in your life because it's the time for it. It's the time for it. So, God bless you. Your assignment, lessons 1 and 2, which will be pages 11 through 13 in the blue cover version, and reading Revelations chapter 1. I'll give you a secret. Revelations chapter 1 in its entirety is in pages 11 through 13. So there you go. It's not as bad as it sounds, is it? Pages 13 through 17, Matthew 16, 13 through 28. And don't forget your memorization work. Amen. Are you excited?
Amen.
We're going to read it. We're going to have a good time reading it. Amen. Maybe we just close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you for what you've done in our lives. We want to thank you for what you've given to us to make us a special class of people, Lord. God, we're unworthy. So many things we've seen tonight just show us over and over again that we're unworthy, that the blood of God has loosed us perfect and complete, that you nailed our sins to the cross, and that you provided the Word of God for us to make us a special class of people. God, as we read this Church Age book, as we begin this journey as a church together, Lord, Father, it's nothing about me or my teaching style, but Father, it's everything about what you saw fit to have a prophet write down for us.
Amen.
So Father, as a blessing has been pronounced upon those that read this work, God, we just want to just echo that again. Lord, bless this people. Bless this church. As we begin to read these things and ponder what you've done in our age, Father, may the Roman candle burst forth in every heart. Provide illumination, provide light, Lord, and then solidify us in your word that Satan will be powerless before us, that he'll be thwarted, that all of his attempts to derail us will be ineffectual. Lord, bless us now, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You appreciate that tonight? Amen. Amen. Let's sing this together tonight. Oh, I want to be ready. Oh, I want to be ready to go. Well, Lord, I want to be ready. Oh, Lord, I want to be ready to go. Well, I don't know. Because Jesus, come again. Oh, and then he leaves, I will go with him. Oh, together tonight. Oh, there are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost.
learned be, nor boast of worldly fame. They have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name, and are telling now both far and wide His power, it's yet the same. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. In the upper room, all praying in His name, baptized with the Holy Ghost when power for service came. Friend, now what He did for them that day, He'll do for you the same. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Well, glory, I'm one of them. Just come, my brother, seek this blessing. It'll cleanse your heart from sin. It'll start those joy bells ringing. It'll keep your soul on flame. Oh, it's burning now within my heart. All glory to His name. I'm so glad I can say, oh, somebody praise Him tonight. I'm one of them. Blessing. It'll cleanse your heart from sin. It'll start those joy bells ringing. It'll keep your soul aflame. Oh, it's burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to His name. Well, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the victory. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Thank you for your mercy. Oh, oh, they were gathered in that upper room, all praying in His name. They'd been baptized with the Holy Ghost, and power for service came. Friend, what He did for them that day, He'll do for you the same. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. That Pentecostal experience is still alive. Oh, I'm one of them. Boast of worldly fame, but we've all received our Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name, and we're telling now both far and wide His power, it's yet the same. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. He's still the same, one of them. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. We're not ashamed, Lord. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. One more time together. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them.
You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. We give You thanks.
Oh, thank you for your presence tonight, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your mercy and your grace to us. Thank you, Lord, for coming in this age and revealing your word to us, Lord. Speaking your word, revealing your thoughts through the mouth of a prophet, Lord God. We're so thankful. We're so blessed. Lord, we're not ashamed to be identified as one of them, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word. Lord, may it not just, Lord, as Brother Trevor taught us tonight, may we not just leave here feeling more mentally better or greater than somebody else, but may it send us from here with a life that's on fire for Jesus Christ. May it send us from here with a desire to do something to help somebody else, Lord. May it send us from here with a fire burning in our soul that we could shine a light in a dying, dark age, Father. Lord Jesus, help us to reach out and give somebody else the same hope of the gospel that we have, the same hope of the resurrection, and Lord, the same belief of a resurrected Lord Jesus that can come and change lives and change circumstances. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, it's changing us. It's quickening us, Lord. We thank you for it. Lord, may you just anchor something down in our hearts tonight, Lord, just a faith to keep the victory and to keep pressing the battle, Lord. Regardless of what would come or go, Lord, may we not look at our circumstances, but give us that faith to keep pressing the battle, Lord Jesus. We love you tonight. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. It's been good to be in church. Amen. Appreciate what Brother Trevor brought for us. And I believe the lessons as far as what you were telling them, the scriptures and the pages, they're in the book, right? So I know some of you were taking pictures and things of the screen and afraid you would forget, but those details will be in the books that we have tonight. And just a little bit, a little story I'll share with you of something that happened today. I thought it told on us how we get spoiled sometimes here in America. The brothers got in the car and they didn't have coats. They just had their suit jackets. And Brother Stephen said, "Oh goodness, it's cold." And Brother Teo said, "Yeah, I'm ready to get back to Ivory Coast. It's cold." And so I just reached back over behind the console and clicked a couple of buttons. And they said, "What's that?" I said, "It's heated seats." And Brother Stephen said, "You mean there's a heater in the seats?" And I said, "Yes, sir. It'll get warm in a second." He said, "White man." Oh, us spoiled white people.
He really likes camp chairs, too. He thought that was pretty much the most amazing invention ever, was that you could take a chair out of a bag and open it up and sit down in it. He kept saying, "White man."
Amen. So I told him he won't need heated seats, you know, when he goes back to Africa. But we, Brother Trevor, as we said, put this together the last 4 years, and we had these printed. They're free of charge, but there are a few stipulations that I want to make. We want to try to keep it 10 and up for anybody that takes these. And not only just age, but if you're going to take a book, you know, we're not going to make you sign an affidavit or anything, but we would like you, unless you're going to try to actually go through and try to be here as many Sunday nights as you can for these lessons and going to go through and read the church age book along with the curriculum that he's put out. It's, I think it averages about 4 or 5 pages in the church age book a lesson. So I think any of us can hopefully be able to do that without it being a strain or anything. I think we should at least be able to do that, and in the at least two weeks that we'll be having these in. Sometimes it might vary a little bit. Sometimes we might have it 2 weeks in a row if it falls due to certain dates and things. But we plan on average about every other Sunday night having the lessons until we get through this. And as I kind of mentioned over here on the sidelines, I've been praying about maybe doing a series and felt led that while Brother Trevor's doing this, it would benefit us. Maybe, I don't know exactly how long it'll take him to get through a chapter in the church age book, but during that period of time while we're going through that chapter, Lord willing, we'll be playing a tape at some point during that time, the tapes that Brother Branham preached there in the 60s that go and correspond right along with the church age book for that chapter. And I think it'll just give us a even better understanding. We did something similar many years ago when we was at the storefront, I'd encouraged the brothers to read through, and we did a men's meeting where we would kind of, I would kind of just hit a few of the highlights from that chapter, and we'd play that month that we were doing that men's meeting the tape that went along with it. And I was encouraging the brothers to go back home and study the church age book with their wives and families. But this is just so much more in depth of a tool to be able to encourage you to do that and to show some guidelines of an easy way to break that down and read the pages and follow along questions and things and comments that Brother Trevor has in here. And he even, as he said, took the time to make the lines straight and everything where you can, if you want to write in the book or write to the side or whatever, little answers and things where it'll kind of quiz you at the end, just more the, and not so much just to test you, but so that you'll remember and so that you can go through. And so I believe it'll be a blessing. So if you're interested in following through with the church age book and doing this, and you're 10 years or older, you're welcome to a book tonight, and we'll just kind of do it like we do it at Christmas. I ought to have Brother Furman come and sing a Christmas carol for us, and instead of an orange and some candy, you know, you could take a book. But I think I will have him come and sing a song for us, and we can, you can be dismissed as you exit. You can take one of the books if you'd like, and I think you'll really enjoy it. But let's just sing a song together, and maybe Brother Layton and myself can help Brother Trevor hand these out to you if you're interested in one. Let's sing this song together. Brother Furman, would you come and help us with it? Oh, when the Savior calls, I will answer.
I'll be somewhere.